Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, that theme music you heard is by the wonderful and brilliant Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster.
Oh, we love them so much.
And we'll have more to talk about them eventually with the Jazz Nest programming coming up.
That's true.
Our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in our historic building, call Walt at 219-462-5821. And we have a new one, a regional art patron, the one and only Mary LeVan.
Yay! Thank you, Mary, so much.
We appreciate you supporting our show and everything. And if nobody knows Mary LeVan, she is like the Energizer Bunny of Northwest Indiana. In her 90s, and she goes hiking. If she doesn't do her 10,000 steps a day, she's at the Dunes Maple Sugar Festival. Anyway, Mary, we really love your support and appreciate it. We always like to give a shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, getting us on the air and going. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Hey, if you're interested in being a guest on our show, send your information to artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. And, you know, Art on the Air is also supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. And as you know, the federal budget has been zeroed out and NEA has been zeroed out in the budget. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but National Endowment for the Humanities, libraries, public radio and television right now have zero in their budget for the fiscal year. But I think Congress will fix that. That's been a proposed the last three, four years, and it has been fixed in Congress. But
well, just, we sure appreciate everybody who has supported WVLP and Art
exactly.
on the Air.
But if you want to, contact your senators and representatives and let them know how important public radio is to you. Hey, our program, along with all our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. Art on the Air is also rebroadcast on this station Monday at 5 p.m. And you can hear our entire show archive at Breck.com/AOT. That's Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA, along with our detailed arts calendar. Also, our show is carried on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we're also heard on WIUN Red Hawk Radio, IU's Northwest online circuit, closed circuit station. Hey, make sure you like us on Facebook. That's how we can keep track with the most up and coming events. Yesterday was National Radio Day, so we celebrated that for you. But, you know, this show is brought to you by the support of many people. We just talked about Mary LeVan and our other supporters. And we're looking for support, especially for our show, but for the station. The station has many projects going, like replacing our board equipment, doing a lot of things to upgrade. And so your support's important. So if you like what we're doing here and like what all of the WVLP is doing, not just our show, but if you like to do it, go to WVLP.org/support. It's WVLP.org/support. We have underwriter levels, so everything we'll mention you during the beginning and end of our show and other times during the week. It's so important. If you go to our page, Breck.com/AOT, I do have a support page there that tells you more about the specifics of this show. But whatever you do, we want you to not just be a listener. We appreciate your listenership, but we'd like you to become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do. I say this every week. Gets a smile from Esther. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting this station in whatever amount you can. Well, we're going to go ahead and start the arts calendar, and I'll start with Porter County, Valparaiso University's Center for the Arts, Brower Museum. They continue with the Brown County and Beyond exhibit, Spectral Speculations. They are Japanese prints from their actual collection there. Unfinished by Mary Bork. prints by Letiero Capelli, and that's from their permanent collection. And you can see all those things at the Brouwer Museum. Also, you can see the Neil Goodman sculpture. It's been delivered. It's been out there about 4 or 5 months now. And that's new. Village Gallery at the Pines. Well, Jackson Pearson is wrapping up. You can still see Remembering a Man in His Eye for Beauty. It opened in January. It's closing mid-February. So you have probably just a couple days to do that, because then coming on February 23rd, Sunday, is Susie Vance. And she's having fiber paintings and mixed media. Her opening will be on the 23rd at 1:30. The Village Gallery is in Valparaiso at the Pines. Chesterton Arts Center. Well, there's a lot of things going on there. I just sat at the board meeting the other night and just couldn't believe what we got going on. But if you're interested in being part of the Chesterton Art Fair, the application is available online. That art fair is in August, but they're already starting to take slots. Usually there's about 100 vendors at that. So if you're interested in getting involved with that, do that. Current exhibit, though, is 18 Artists. It opened on February 2nd, be running through the month of February. So you can see the 18 artists, a local artist group there on exhibit. Monday Night Ceramics have returned. And in fact, I got on our email at artintheairwvlp@gmail.com a whole list of things going at Chesterton Art. So go to their site. You can see they have brand new classes and everything like that, which brings us to Art Barn. Duneland Photography Club is going to be running through March 14th. Their exhibit is called Anticipating Spring. About 18 photographers that are involved with that. They will have the reception on February 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. That's Saturday, so if you're listening to the show live, you'll do it. They also have just started their spring class signups. So again, if you go to Art Barn's website, or you can see their whole signups. Artsy Fine Arts, well, on February 15th at 11:30 to 2:30. That's, again, on Saturday if you're listening to us live. Meet the author Sherry Miracle Finity and enjoy an afternoon of chapter reading, book signing, photo opportunities, and more. This is a children's type book suitable for grades 2 to 5, but bring the kids along anyway, and you can hear stories and meet her. Ellen Firm Gallery. Well, they are going to have Henry Schultz and Deb Armstrong, two photographers I know, and they'll be doing doing a exhibit there. So you can see that. They are both self-taught photographers, but do excellent work. They were part of an exhibit that I curated for the Southern Shore Arts Association. And you can see that. They have their opening Friday, February 14th. That's Valentine's Day, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12. Kevin Firm, well, he's got his wonderful art exhibit at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. You can find out information about that. He's going to be running that through May, so you have a chance. If you get up there, you can see his wonderful work. The Depot Museum and Art Gallery will host the third annual 5x5 Depot. That's going to be coming in May. But if you're an artist, you can either pick up 5x5 canvases or frames. And if you pick them up by March 1st, and then you can get that in so they can do that. That's their great fundraising. You can pick up those up at the Glen Firm Art Supply right there on US 12. Memorial Opera House. Well, guess what they're opening tonight? Mary Poppins, the musical. And that's going to be running through March 1st. We have a link on our site, so you can see that all about that.
That's where I first learned about suffragists.
You did?
It was on Mary Poppins, yes.
Well, see, it was very, Disney was very educational.
Yes, it was.
Dig the Dunes calendar still available, so Eve has a few of those still left. I just checked with her online, but they're going fast. So if you want one of those 2020 calendar with a beautiful photography, especially October, you can go get it right now.
Yeah, bring it by.
Yes.
Mr. October will sign it for
you. Yes, I will. I'll be happy to sign it. Chicago Street Theater. Well, they're doing, they opened their show. Oh, this one's closed. So when it's there, they're done with that. I just missed to take that off the list. But you can find out whatever's coming up at Chicago Street Theater with the link online. 4th Street Theater in Chesterton. Wow, this is a busy time. Art will be opening March 13th. It's a three-person show. And also coming up March 14th, they're going to have, in celebration of St. Patrick's Day, Yuck of the Irish. And I always say this very carefully, by their improv group, Make Shift Up. Got to be careful about that. March 14th at 8 p.m. So that's their improv company. So you can come and have a fun take on that. And they're the headliner. They also have some other improv things. That's all we have going on in McCormick.
That's pretty full.
It's pretty full. It's getting that time. What do we have going on in LaPorte County?
LaPorte County. The Thaddeus C. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte. Please go visit them. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, current exhibit in all three galleries, is called Local at LCA. It's art from the Area Artist Association. It's celebrating their 40 years of existence, and I think the exhibit closes at the end of the month.
On the 29th.
On the 29th, thank you. Absorbing the Abstract, student works from the LCA, closes February 29th, and it is in the NIPSCO Art Education Studios. Rising Phoenix Gallery is closed until March 1st, SFC Gallery. No exhibit this month, but there's an artist appreciation night on Friday, March 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work of Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. They're on winter hiatus, I think, for another month. Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serko. His exhibit is called Me, Myself, and Eyes, and it's recent paintings and drawings. Bob calls it a one-person group exhibit, so come see it to see what that means. There's a lot of different types of media that he's used. And hi, Bob, we love you so much. Comic and Drawing Club is ongoing Fridays from 3 to 5 p.m. February 14th is the next one. First Friday Drum Circle with Don Wenig starting at 6:30. March 6th is the next one. Seasons of the Heart, Perspectives on the Meaning of Love. This is a storytelling show. It has adult themes and strong language, so discretion on age. Join us at 7 p.m. on Friday, February 14th. It should be a really great evening. After the, there's six or seven storytellers, and then it will be open to an open mic on stories. After that, there's a cash bar Saturday, February 15th, and every third Saturday, the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. That starts at 7 p.m. It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Brain Injury Support Group held during the winter months in the Nest every third Wednesday of the month. February 19th is the next one. March International Women's Day celebrations are Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. in March. March 8th, it's tributes to prominent suffragists, and we'll have activities and refreshments. March 15th, Leah Shoshana, she's a musician. She'll be singing protest songs and leading a sing-along. Refreshments also. March 22nd, Laura Scruggs is a storyteller. She has produced this wonderful afternoon of storytelling and poetry. Ada Chang is a storyteller. Lisa Marie Farber, Terza Joy, she's a singer-songwriter, jazz vocalist. And then we'll have refreshments. March 29th, Dan Schaff has put together an entertaining glimpse into women's suffrage through pre-1920 silent films and refreshments. Art and Horse-Assisted Healing and Empowerment, March 28th from 10 to 4. More details on all the events on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page. And that's it for
pretty busy.
Report. It is busy.
Yes. Well, now we'll move to Lake County. Studio 659 continues with the Artistic License exhibit there in Whiting on 119th Street. They're open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, you can see the link, and you can also see three of my pieces in that show. South Shore Arts. Well, Bachman Gallery now continues with Maurice Sendak's Memorial Exhibition. That's in the Bachman Gallery. That will be opening today, which is Friday, February 14th, and be running through April 12th. So it's a new exhibit in the Bachman Gallery. The Atrium Gallery continues with Earth Forms by Jane Mikulski and Leslie Sobel, and that's running through March 8th. Crown Point Branch, Winter in the Indiana Dunes, featuring the works of several photographers, including Bridget Covert, who's been on our show. She's actually the curator for the Bachman Gallery. Substation number 9, Julio Guerrera, he's still there, Gallery at the Voice, and he continues through at least the end of this month. Toll Theater, brand new exhibit, is The Surreal Thing. It's Jim Surigi. His reception will be February 21st, and we expect he'll be there at least a month or so. Cafe Fresco in Crown Point, Stark Minus Digital Paintings. Be running November through March 14th, so you have a chance to get by there. By the way, there's the South Shore Arts Chamber Luncheon on Wednesday, February 26th. So if you're involved in any kind of art, theater, music group and everything, it's a chance to get together and share something about your group. They'll be at Purdue Northwest Chess Gallery on Indianapolis Boulevard in Hammond. There's details at the South Shore site. Contact Donna Catalano, who I also have her phone number and thing on the site, and you can get an invitation, have lunch, and meet some other people. Joe Rowland will be conducting an Art in Focus group. That's a longtime group where they have people and they talk about certain arts things. I know years ago I talked about the theater at the center when I was working there to the group and about things going on with that. That'll be February 24th, 10 to 12. And he also will be playing his new musical instrument. It's a unique thing that he has, and he'll be bringing that along and he'll describe it. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, they're still celebrating Black History Month. And they'll be, they already had their opening ceremony, but it'll be running through February. So you can find out information about that. South Lake Artist Cooperative, Slack. and the people call themselves Slackers. And they're a bunch of creative artists. They have a call for art called Wanderlust, and the call ends on February 15th, which is Saturday. If you're isn't long, that one, that exhibit will be at the Wild Rose Gallery or Brewery, I'm sorry. And then they have two exhibits running the coffee at the Sip Coffee House. And then they have Crackle at Sip Coffee House, too, in Highland. So they're always active doing things. Paul Henry Gallery, Interwoven Stories, the art of Randy Bufaglaw, Sarah P. Convery, Tony Lipka, Gary Price. It opened February 1st, be running at least for a month. Paul Henry every Thursday has an acoustic jam, lots of things going on like that. Theater at the Center. Well, guess what they just opened last night? Almost Heaven, the John Denver musical, running through March 22nd. You can see, found information about Theater Center on the link on our page. Promise You Art House continues with their nostalgia exhibit. Open February 1st, be running at least for a month. Information there. Lakeshore Community Concerts. Well, they already had their wonderful concert, but now they have the Maxwell Quartet from Scotland on March 12th. You can get individual tickets, but you can also buy half a season. Well, now they have two shows left on it. There's a deal there. And they're going to be promoting their new season. We talked to them a couple of weeks ago. It'll be great. Northwest Indiana Symphony. Well, March 6th is coming up, and they're beginning their concert. And it'll be having Vivaldi, Rachmaninoff, and Beethoven. And the piano is going to be by Jana Resnick. I've had her on my stage before with the Concert Association. And seventh annual for the Love of Art Fair. This is actually a little out of our area. This is in South Bend. It's a Michiana Art Fair. And she's having a wonderful thing. There's going to be 50 artists. It's going to be March 8th, 11 to 4 p.m. And Saturday, March 7th. You can find out information on our site. And so we hope to get her on. I think I have her scheduled to come on the show to talk about that.
I know you do.
Afterwards, but at least we couldn't get her on beforehand. But anyway, hey, where's your art event? Well, I don't know where your art event is, but you can get it on Art on the Air.
I know it's not on Gmail.
Yeah, WVLP@gmail.com. You know, send it to us. We'll be happy to get it on the air. You are listening to Art on the Air, heard on WVLP on Lakeshore Public Radio. Well, we're so glad to have our guests here today. We didn't talk about their group in LaPorte County because they'll be talking
They're here.
We have Laura Mayer, who is the director of the current production there, and Jan Rice, who's the assistant director, and they're doing the musical Gypsy, based on Gypsy Rosalie, roughly based on Gypsy Rosalie's life and everything. So welcome to Art on the Air.
Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Okay. Well, let's talk first, Laura, about, tell us a little bit about your background, how you got from where you are to where, you know, where you grew up, where you went to school, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I was born and raised in Michigan City.
Okay.
I started my theatrical career at the age of 7 in an R-gang comedy.
Okay.
And that's when I knew I loved theater and dance. My parents wanted me to be a gymnast, and I wanted to be a ballerina. So my father said, put her in ballet for a year and let her get it out of her system. Well, I'm still doing ballet. I'm still doing choreography. It never got out of my system. Then I went to school at Elston, and then I married kind of young and didn't go to college right away. So, but I stayed active in theater, and just over the years with doing lead roles and watching and learning. So I pulled up my bootstraps and learned that way.
There you go.
And then I started, quite a few years ago, directing Scotty's Dinner Theater in New Buffalo.
Okay.
For a couple of years. And now I still do roles, even though it's kind of hard to memorize these days, but I do it. And but I really enjoy directing. And my husband is a classical musician who accompanies for most of our shows at Footlight Theater, and he and I work together very well.
That's so beautiful.
It's very nice. I'm the more aggressive one, and he kind of sits back and watches, and then he'll just give me a little motion, come over and talk to him, and then he'll say, why don't you do this or this or this? So we work well together.
They collaborate well
together. What are some of your favorite roles?
My very favorite role of all time was Adelaide in
Oh, there
Guys
you go.
And Dolls. And second was Winifred in Once Upon a Mattress.
Oh, yes.
And third was South Pacific, Nellie Forbush.
Okay.
And then there are others down the line, too numerous to mention.
Oh, sure, sure.
But recently, I had my first real dramatic role in Moonglow.
Okay.
And I played the little old lady with dementia. And it was quite a challenge, and I enjoyed doing that.
Excellent. So
in high school, did you do plays in high school?
Yes. Yeah. I was Titania in a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Did you do any? Did they let you direct in high school at all?
No.
Did you get? No.
I didn't start directing.
Scenery?
Actually, I didn't start directing until I was probably in my 30s. Mm-hmm. Because.
And what made you say, oh, I think I can do this or I want to do this?
Just from watching.
Watching.
Mm-hmm. Watching and learning. And
so what was the play that you directed, that first one?
The first one I did, I think, was Butterflies Are Free. And that was. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah. I found, like, in my own theater career, I started out mostly as a lighting designer. But the fundamentals of communication are part of what a director does, and also conceptual of what's going on mood-wise and everything like that. So the step into directing was that I also have a very strong musical sense. And I direct about 99% of my thing is musicals that I actually directed. Mm-hmm. And I found that the fundamentals of interpretation and creating stage pictures is really the and then be able to communicate that.
Right.
And so, and I love musicals. Actually, my doctorate is focused on musicals. Anyway, yeah, I know what you mean. So, okay, well, Jan, tell us a little bit about you. You're the assistant director for the current production of Gypsy. So tell us where you came from and how you got to where you are.
Well, I'm not born and raised in Michigan City. I'm actually from the South as a little girl, and went to grade school in Kentucky. Then I moved to Indiana. A little town called Knox, Indiana. Went to high school there, got married there, and then when my youngest was a baby, my husband got a job in Michigan City, and we moved here. I didn't go to college. I did have college classes and became an insurance agent, and since retired. But theater, I probably started in grade school. I remember I had pneumonia, and my cousin came by with the script for our Christmas play, and he said, you have 2 weeks to learn the play, and I had the lead. So that was my first experience, and I absolutely loved it, and I did memorize it. And I guess I got the bug there. I didn't do much in high school. It was mainly I was in chorus and a few talent shows and things like that, and I married young like Laura and had my family. Then I learned about the little community theater on Johnson Road through a friend, and they suggested I come. They needed people, as they always do. And so
Still do?
Yeah, still do. I think I started out as a stage manager. They wanted me to
That's
try
out. That's a tough job to start out as stage manager.
And you had to do things back then, like the phone. You don't have the cell phones and whatever, so I had to ring phones backstage. I did all kinds of things, like, Natalie Needs a Nighty. I don't know how many times I had to go out on stage and change what's on one chair, but it had to be perfect. So, yes, I learned a lot being stage manager. You try to get through that through some of our younger people today. But I was going to try out for Unsinkable Molly Brown, and I saw the talent on stage and could not do it, so I think I started with one line, but they always told me there's no small roles.
That's true.
So basically, I've come from the dramatic side.
Okay.
And I did start directing probably in my 30s or thereabouts. One of my favorite ones that I directed was Bus Stop.
Okay.
And Bad Year for Tomatoes, some of the other ones, but I've only been in musical Chairs, Oliver, 2x2, and a little bit in...
Wow, 2x2 is one you don't see very often.
I was Goldie.
Wow.
Yes. And her husband and her directed.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a kind of a rare one. You see it in the book anymore, and it's like... And that was the one that Danny Kaye did on Broadway. But it's like, man, you almost don't see 2x2 anymore.
It was a lot of fun. But her husband said, I never learned how to be a good vamp. I just couldn't on ramp. And you know what it was? It was done at the church, at United Methodist Church.
Well, there
church,
you go. That's
and I was by the altar. And I said, it's just really hard for me to vamp up here by the altar, guys, you know. So
That makes sense. You can't be trampy in the church. You
know? That was the whole thing. So, but I was out a couple of years and just a big advertiser because I was doing two businesses and both mother and father were very ill. And so I didn't do a whole lot for maybe 5 years, but that's about it. Otherwise, I've been there doing box office, directing, acting, not a whole lot. Some of my favorite roles were I played both aunties in Arsenic.
Okay.
Musical Chairs. And I did some at Dunes with Abby Winsky and her husband, and that was a lot of fun, and did a little bit of dinner theater. Still doing box office, assistant directing, producing. We don't have a big, you know, group of people to pull from, so right. We all wear many hats. We're all dedicated. We all have fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Footlight. Let's go over the history of it a little bit, how it started. Things like that. So
we're in our 70th season.
Wow.
And it started out as a breakaway from a group from the Dunes. The Dunes and Footlight were together in, I think it was called the Long Beach Little Theater Club.
Okay.
And the Dunes went one way and Footlight went another. And it's odd because they're both active still.
Sure.
Which I think is
phenomenal and wonderful.
It's a wonderful thing. We have a lot of community theater.
We do.
Northwest Indiana has at least 14.
Main Street is right next door to us.
Yeah, 16 producing groups.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. And, I love to go to movies, but not nearly as much as seeing a live performance.
Right.
So, but Footlight has started out on Johnson Road in a little Cool Spring Township theater out there. And then I think it was 15 or 16 years ago, they purchased their own building, and that's where we are now.
And tell us where that is.
1705 Franklin Street.
And you can't miss it because it's got the big yellow on it.
Across,
it
used across to be the street from Panini.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
Blink Contemporary Art wonderful Gallery, sandwich. So surrounded by a lot of wonderful things.
The yellow awning is a sign that it used to be a Subway shop. So if you remember Subway sandwiches, that's what it used to be. But you wouldn't recognize it anymore. We seat 80 people.
So it's very intimate.
It's very intimate.
So everyone is within, like we like to say, is within spitting distance of the stage.
Right. Correct. So consequently, we don't have microphones and stuff. If you can't be heard in the back of the building, you have no business being on the stage.
How many rows is that?
Let's see. It's G. A through G.
Okay.
And there's 12 seats to a row, so.
Okay. So it is very intimate.
It is very intimate. But our patrons love it like that.
Sure.
They love
and
the
thank
intimacy.
God for our patrons.
Yes.
And your husband plays like most of the shows you said, right?
Recently. I mean, over the years, there have been different people. But my husband has a master's degree in classical music performance, and he...
Is he the whole pit, or do you have a couple other musicians that make up
for
your pit?
For Gypsy, we have a drummer, too.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you almost need it.
Our drummer also plays the cornet, so when it's needed, she's going to be doing double duty. Her name is Adriana Ladone, and she just recently finished her student teaching, so she's... teaching in Chesterton this year.
Okay, excellent. So let's before we get into the specifics of your show, your season, what generally do you have for a season? I see you have your season brochure there.
We have five shows. Some seasons we do six, but recently we've done five shows.
Okay.
Usually two musicals, sometimes a drama, not always, but sometimes, and then two comedies.
Okay.
So this year, of course, we've already done Double Wide Texas and Last of the Red Hot Lovers. But after Gypsy, we have Steel Magnolias coming up in May. And we have Narnia The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe coming up in July.
And you need to make sure you send that to artontheairwvlp@gmail.com so we can read it on our arts calendar. And you are listening to Art on the Air, by the way, on WVLP and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. So that's your season. Well, let's get forward to Gypsy. What drew you to this show? This was I know the classics of it, but what drew you to pick Gypsy as a show?
Oh, to pick well, we have a play reading committee every year.
Okay.
And there were several musicals that we were looking at. And I just think the majority of the committee liked the idea of doing Gypsy. And I have to admit that I wasn't one on the committee that voted for it. However, I'm directing it and I'm enjoying it. And, you know, I guess I was up for the challenge.
Okay.
I love that you ask the community at large to put in suggestions for what plays you might do. I think that's so wonderful.
We put it in our program usually, and we also put out a flyer. We send out flyers asking, you know, what are you looking for? Because there are so many different opinions of what you should do.
Well, and it really...
The actors want to do dramas.
Yeah.
But most of the audience wants to come and relax and enjoy.
Musicals put butts in seats. There's right. No doubt about that. You know, and I used that formula when I was doing it at Munster. You know, our straight plays did okay, but mm-hmm. man, musicals. You know, we were in the 300 to 500 a night type
right.
thing for that.
Right.
So,
and it's even a bonus if you have some children in the musical.
Well, of
too.
Course. that's always the bonus, you know, because, I always say that you can get mom, dad, and grandma to come out, and you can put puppy puke on stage, and they'll go, oh, look, my kid's on stage. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that.
For sure.
Well, and then your patron levels are just so reasonable. I mean, like, to get a season ticket. Yeah.
Yes.
You've made that so affordable.
Right. If you're a patron, I think the least amount you can pay is $40.
Mm-hmm. For five shows.
For mm-hmm. five shows, and
it's really a steal.
Yeah, it is. And but what would we do without our patrons? I mean, you know, that's really the backbone.
That's our support. That's
well,
that's
yeah, and if backbone. You have an audience base like that, you can kind of plan, have future planning and everything. That's
right,
the nice part of it.
And we're
that.
Able to stay in the black and pay for our next season coming
right.
up a year ahead, mm-hmm. which not all community theater can do that.
No, it's tough. And we were talking off air about how expensive, and I know a lot of people don't realize this. They just think you can pull out a musical and go do it. They don't realize that the rights and royalties are very expensive for shows. And
right.
Like you were saying, how much was your rights?
Gypsies is $3,500.
So that's for your, how many performance run? It's a nine.
Nine.
Nine performance run, and that's also renting the music and things. Now, I know, I think that's an MTI production. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. And MTI is actually one of the better ones still as far as dealing with. You can actually use a reduced orchestra with them. You know, a lot of them, they make you, I think Tams Whitmark is one of these, you have to buy their rent the entire orchestration, even if you're just going to a piano and something
right.
like that. Yeah, it's
correct.
But yeah, that's, and they, and MTI will work with you a little bit. I know my rep at MTI, the years I did it, you know, we negotiate. A couple things I negotiated is that I directed the production of Working, but I wanted to do the original script, which I actually had the original script, and I said, because they changed things. And I said, I don't like the changes. The changes are bad. And so she said, well, officially, I can't tell you to do it, but, you know, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, you're paying all they care is about getting the check. You know?
Right.
They don't
that's
really
correct.
Care about anything else. Well, let's talk about Gypsy. A little bit about the storyline, the history of it. I know some of this, but maybe I'll let you speak to it.
Well, the storyline, of course, is a lady who is very outgoing and boisterous and pushy, and she has two daughters that she wants them to become famous in show business, and she does everything in her power to see that that'll happen. And
a typical stage mom.
Typical very stage much mom, so. And you know, she wants to live vicariously through her daughters.
And that character is Mama Rose. And who
Rose.
Plays Mama Rose?
Caroline Rao.
Okay.
I don't know if you know. She's from this area. I had never worked with her before. She's from Chesterton, and she mm-hmm. is phenomenal. She just blew us away mm-hmm. at auditions. We said, there she is. And we had five wonderful women come out for Mama Rose. Any one of the five of them could have done the part. But she
well,
was
we
just,
thought we had her cast.
Yeah.
And then here comes Caroline.
Yeah. So we do have open casting. We don't pre-cast anything.
Right.
So
it's a bad thing to do that.
Yeah.
The guideline I always used is that you don't pick a show if you know your pool of talent.
You
don't
pick a show. Someone in mind.
Not someone, but someone's in mind. Mm-hmm. So you don't do a South Pacific if you don't have a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Or, right. You know, there's, you know what I mean? You got to have, you got to pick a show, but you don't try to pick, okay, I'm going to cast a show. Now, in professional theater, you can do that. You know, you cast shows and say, okay, I'm going to hire so and so to do this and be the lead role and everything. So Gypsy is actually based on a book by Gypsy Rose Lee, who was a burlesque stripper. Now, talking a little bit about burlesque, it's different than what became later on as strictly a strip show. The burlesque actually started in the 1860s, and it was a whole wide variety of variety entertainment. And the striptease was actually more of a tease than it was an actual strip until it eventually became just something else.
You see more on television today than you probably did then
right.
in the strip show.
It was the raunchier version of vaudeville is what the best way to describe it. So,
and Rose really wanted to, she was a vaudevillian. She wanted to stick with that. It was not her idea to go into burlesque by any means.
No.
For her daughters.
The early part of it was with Baby June. And she was like the littlest tap dancer. And I think Mama Rose lies about their age to get, you know.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, they're 10.
Forever.
They're still 10 when they're like 15 and 16.
Yeah. But, some of the songs that are famous from it. It starts out, May We Entertain You in Act One, and it becomes Let Us Entertain You, which becomes something a little more seductive in Act Two. Wherever We Go to it, it's called Together. And that's probably one of the famous songs of the show. And there's one more that I'm going to save a little bit later. But, you know, let's give a listen to one right now.
Let me make you smile. Let me do a few tricks, some old and then some new tricks. I'm very versatile. And if you're real good, I'll make you feel good. I want your spirits to climb. So let me entertain you, and we'll have a real good time. Yes, sir, we'll have a real good time. We'll be right back.
And that's from Gypsy, Let Me Entertain You. That was the original Broadway cast version there. So so that's in your show.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's a fun piece that you have there. So
Another fun thing that we have in our show that I think people will get a kick out of is at rehearsal one night, there's a cow scene. There's a farm scene in the show, and they need a real-life cow. Not a real-life cow, but a two-person cow. And, of course, Louise is the front end of the cow. So I said to the group of kids, who in the room would like to be the rear end of the cow?
Right.
And I have this little girl named Mara who has been wonderful. She's just one of the kids. But whenever someone misses rehearsal or anything, and she'll fill in for us, and she does beautifully. And she raised her hand, and she said, I'll be the back end of the cow. So she's the back end of the cow.
She's so willing to do anything. It's wonderful to have the kids.
Yeah. We have a little hum on our signal here, so we apologize about that to our listeners. So when you cast a show, and I know as a director myself, I did that. What do you look for in terms of people? Some people you may know their talent base, but other things you don't know.
Well, there are several things you look for. Primarily, you look for, you know, the type of characters that you're trying to cast. So you look for physicality, for one thing, ability to audition with that character. It's all cold reading,
right,
of course, unless the person has portrayed that part before. But and then if it's a musical, it's pretty important that they're not tone deaf.
Yeah.
but it doesn't take an operatic voice always either.
No.
So you have to consider that. And oftentimes people who have really, really nice voices will come to audition, but they just don't fit the character.
Well, yeah.
So
it's musicals are more than just singing.
Right.
Yes.
Though I work with directors who think that that's it. And this is in professional theater where, like, oh, you know, that stuff called dialogue in between numbers, it's just to get to the next song and dance. And there's a philosophy about that, you know, and it's a very superficial presentational type of directing, which I don't agree with. You know,
I don't either.
I worked on a professional production in one place that I work with, and we were doing MAME, and we came to the scene where the depression thing was happening, and it was like, I'm going to lose my child, I'm going to lose this child, which means he was going to be taken away. It's a dramatic scene, and then you almost get the audience in tears. They were saying the words, but there was nothing there. I was like, okay, this is not how it is. I've had high school productions that had more feeling in it. So
right, and that's very important. And it's to me, it's important that we have a production where everybody works well together. And
oh yeah,
and no divas, and you know. Just
how long are you in rehearsal for a show?
We rehearse 6 weeks.
Okay, that's about right.
And right now we're about midway, so it's still in the
not together
dramatic stage.
So do your actors, do they also do the sets and scenery, or do you have separate crew for that?
Well, we try to have a separate crew for that, but unfortunately, like Jan said, we're a small group, so we all pitch in and do what needs to get done. We have a production manager who pulls all that together, who is not usually in the production. There are times when, our production manager is Mr. The director that just sits in the chair. I can't think of his name, isn't coming to me right away. But he doesn't have any lines to say.
Oh, okay.
So, but he has to be there every night anyway, so why not take that part?
Sure.
So
he has his lines already.
Yeah, he said, I'm off book now.
And so it's his first time producing, and he was very nervous about it, but I think he's doing a really good job.
Oh, excellent.
So usually we have someone who's artistic that does all of the artwork on the set.
And costuming, do you rent costumes? Do you create? Do you construct?
We have a costumer. We pull from our supply. We have a couple of theaters that we work with in Michigan City that they use our costumes, we use theirs. One is LaPorte Little Theater, and the other is Marquette High School. So we
share.
Trade back and forth. But we also have a costumer and four or five people who like to sew. I'm a customer myself.
She's a very good seamstress
I don't mind helping out too. Even if I'm directing, I'll still make some of the costumes. So it all gets done in the end.
I know it does. It's such a good community.
Demora and her husband have done their own shows at a small church, a group in Michigan City that she has written, I guess with Lee, you have written about your mom, that have done quite well. So she's quite an all-around girl as far as teaching dance, music, writing shows, a wonderful seamstress, choreographer because she knows dance. So
you're never going to let Laura leave the Footlight Players.
Well, thank you.
It's indentured servitude almost, right?
Well, I enjoy it, and I'm at a point in my life now where it's my entertainment.
Oh, sure. You know, so. Let you entertain us, right?
Right.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And we're talking to Jan Rice, Assistant Director, and Laura Meyer, Director for the upcoming production of Gypsy by the Footlight Players. Well, talking about the history of the show itself, it opened in 1959 on Broadway. It was written for Ethel Merman. I mean, it was designed for her, and that's probably her famous song, which we'll play in a minute here. Also, the music was Julie Stein, but something I told you off air is that Stephen Sondheim wrote the lyrics. It was the second show. He just finished West Side Story. He really wanted to be a composer, but there's kind of a Broadway rumor out there that he sort of fixed some of the songs because Julie wasn't always there, and he sort of made things work, you know, musically. So he sort of did compose some of it. So, it's an interesting history of that show. And it's been revived, I don't know how many times. It was a London version and everything. Actually, they didn't win Tony Awards. They got nominated, but I think it was, who won the Tony Award for it? Angela Lansbury on the revival. So,
well, and to think Footlight predated by 9 years, the creation of Gypsy, that's kind of, your 1950 was like Footlight's birth. And
Well, you know, one of the things the show generated was what I call a Broadway anthem. You know, those are things like Give My Regards to Broadway. You know, that was Yankee Doodle Dandy. Lullaby of Broadway, 42nd Street. There's No Business Like Show Business from Annie Get Your Gun. That's entertainment. Another Open Another Show, Kiss Me Kate. But let's listen to this next one, which is a Broadway anthem. This is actually the signature song for Ethel Merman.
I dream about you, baby. I had a dream. It's gonna come true. They think that we're through. But baby, you'll be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on. Honey, everything's coming up roses. Clear the decks, clear the tracks. You got nothing to do but relax. Blow a kiss, take a bow. Honey, everything's coming up roses. Now you're inning, stand the world. Great, I can tell, just you wait. That lucky star I talk about is due. Honey, everything's coming up roses for me and for you. You can do. All you need is a hand. We can do it. Mama is gonna see to it. Turn up, light the lights. You got nothing to hit but the heights. You'll be swell, you'll be great. I can tell, just you wait. That lucky star I talk about is you. Honey, everything's coming up. Roses and daffodils. Everything's coming up. Sunshine and Santa Claus. Everything's gone.
And that's the one and only Ethel Merman in her original cast album of Everything's Coming Up Roses from Gypsy. So tell us the context of that song. Where does that fall in the context of the show? Because that's a Broadway anthem if you've ever heard one.
Right, it is. It's the end of the first act. It's when she's still pushing her daughters to become stars, and it's getting more and more difficult. She's going from city to city to city. And she's getting less bookings. And
isn't it when June leaves the act?
Yeah, she leaves the.
Well, yes.
And so now it's going to be
now she's
pushing Louise, who becomes Gypsy Rose.
Right, and up until this point, Louise has been just a secondary figure.
I mean, right.
Just no matter what she does, she doesn't get any approval from her mother, and now June has left. And not only just left, but got married.
Right.
And so now she said, I'm not beat. We're going to beat this. We're still going to go on. And you're going to be the star now. And so second act is when Louise becomes Gypsy Rose Lee.
Yes. And tell us a little bit about her. How she became a stripper. Now, this is in the context of Gypsy, the story, and it's actually partially true. But how that actually happened, you know.
Well, they got booked by accident into a burlesque house. And they wanted to be the headliner.
The cooch dancer, they call them.
Yeah. And so it was either that or be at the tail end of the show doing nothing.
Right.
And Mama wanted them to be in the head, you know, wanted Louise to be up front. And so they said, well, you know, it's not such a bad idea after all.
I think the context is in the early phase of it, it was a tease. There wasn't much strip to it. She was doing a little bit.
Right. And she and the very beginning was she's very, very shy and
right.
gets booed and, you know. But in the end, she eats it up and she loves it.
And I guess the historical context of that is for Gypsy Rose Lee, in reality, what happened is one of her costumes broke.
Oh, now that I didn't know.
And she was in a burlesque house and she was doing the cooch dance but not really stripping. And one part of her costume broke and so it became like, oh, here it is. And that sort of eventually said, okay, I guess it's not so bad to do that. What's interesting about Gypsy Rose Lee, we talked about this off air, is how she developed an entire career after burlesque and that. She did radio and
talk shows,
author.
She was Johnny Carson. I remember seeing her on
quite often she was on talk shows and everything
She loved it. I mean, I liked listening to her. She was a very unique person.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she died only at age 59.
I know.
But I think even as a child, she had that desire.
Right.
But was always put down by her mother.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So she didn't really blossom until
she was the second banana. Yeah.
She was on Broadway.
Yeah, she did a lot of things. So we've got about 2 minutes here. So tell us a little bit more about Gypsy, when and where it's going to happen.
It's, as we said, in Michigan City on Franklin Street, 1705. Our phone number, it's a good idea to make reservations because our theater is small. It's 219-874-4035.
874-4035. We repeat it in radio because they don't write it down. But I do have the link on our webpage. So if you click, go to our website and see Gypsy, you click, it will take you to Footlight Players. So if they want to.
Oh, good. And we also have a webpage, footlightplayers.org.
And the tickets aren't that expensive. You're not a patron. How much to get in the door?
$15 for adults, $12 for children and under. And we also are $10. I'm sorry, $10 for children 12 and under. We also have a coupon online.
Right.
2 for $25. You can print that. You must bring the coupon with you in order to get the $5 off. Which and you're steal.
It's very generous.
It's very, very, very inexpensive. And right now you accept checks and cash.
Correct.
I know we talked off air that the credit card may be in the future very soon.
Very soon,
hope.
Yes.
It will be, yeah.
For sure.
If you're like me, I don't carry much cash with me. And if it doesn't go on a credit card, it doesn't. And what's your next production after Gypsy?
It's Steel Magnolias, and Jan is directing that.
There you go, Jan.
And I will be auditioning.
And when are auditions for that? Because you can send us audition information, yes. But when is the audition approximately? You don't have a...
It's the first weekend of your show.
So of March. It would be the
8th and 10th?
It would be the 8th and 9th.
8th and 9th.
Of right. March.
And you have a scholarship that's coming up, too?
Right.
Yes, we do. This is our first year for our scholarship. We're giving it to a high school student that's a senior or a graduating student this year or recently graduated out of school for someone who is interested in continuing in the arts. It doesn't have to be theater. It could be music, art, but it has to be in the arts. And it's $1,000.
And where can they... like any school, or where's your?
It's in LaPorte County.
So it has to be LaPorte County.
It has to be LaPorte County. And the registration form became available on February 1st.
Online.
Mm-hmm. And it must be received by the committee no later than midnight on March 31st. And then the recipient will be notified by April 30th.
Beautiful.
Excellent. Well, you've been listening to Jan Rice, Assistant Director for the Gypsy at Footlight Players, and Laura Meyer, who's also the director for that. And again, it's running March 6th to 8th, 13-15, 2022. We have the information online with the link and everything like that. So thank you for being on Art in the Air. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. We're also heard at Lakeshore Public Radio. Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Craig Kovach for getting us on the air. He's WVLP's station manager, underwriters for Art in the Air of Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and of course, the wonderful one and only Mary Levan. If you're interested in being yes. a guest, send us information about your exhibit or event at artontheair@gmail.com. Our next week, we will have Tom Foolery on. Tom, unfortunately, Miss Michelle will not be with him on that show. Sorry. She commiserate, but she has an event in Chicago. So see you right next here week at 103.1 FM. And 89.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Lots of love. Have a terrific week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.